We're going to turn to God's word now. So if you do have a Bible, please do turn up Psalm 34, as I say, for our fourth instalment and our final instalment in this great series with Andy Mason about praying in a crisis. So it's Psalm 34. If perhaps thumbing through a Bible's new for you, you'll find it kind of halfway through generally. In Bibles. The Psalms are the songbook. They're virtually there in the middle. And if you can't find them, use the contents page. That's what it's for. And find Psalm number 34. And as I say, if you haven't got a Bible to hand, don't worry a jot. The words will appear on screen as I read them now. So let me read Psalm 34 from verse 1. I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. I will glory in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. This poor man called, and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you his holy people. For those who fear him lack nothing. The lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Come, my children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Whoever of you loves life and desires to see many good days, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from telling lies. Turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their cry. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to blot out their name from the earth. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted, and saves those who are crushed in spirit. The righteous person may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all. He protects all his bones. Not one of them will be broken. Evil will slay the wicked. The foes of the righteous will be condemned. The Lord will rescue his servants. No one who takes refuge in him will be condemned.
Let's pray and ask for God's help. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the scripture that your word teaches us and leads us. And Father, we want to learn to pray. Teach us to pray, we ask. And from the scripture here we have before us today, we pray that you would be leading us in the knowledge of you. Give us words, give us tongues that can pray according to your word, we ask. Amen. Well, crises can be very difficult times for our faith, can't they? We shouldn't be sentimental about crises. They can be very, very difficult times for us. Last week, I mentioned to you the amazing missionary, Alan Gardner. Well, today I want to talk about another missionary, a man called Andrew Brunson. Now, Andrew Brunson was a pastor in Turkey. He was in prison for a couple of years. He was released a couple of years ago when Donald Trump intervened in his case. But he found himself in isolation in prison for 2 years on kind of trumped up charges, accused of being a terrorist, you know, when he was just a pastor in a church. And he took all this time in prison, in isolation, in lockdown, and he really, really struggled. He really struggled during this time. He published a book last autumn about his experiences, and he talks there in that book about his battle with despair and depression. He felt abandoned by God. His heart grew cold. He said this. He said, I had expected strength to pour into me. I had expected an overwhelming sense of grace. And when this didn't happen, I became suicidal. It's very honest, isn't it? Very honest. Last week, we looked at Alan Gardner. Today, Andrew Brunson. And we can see these very different experiences. Now, he came through it, and he he talked about how he had to cultivate a fear of the Lord and how he had to learn to walk with the Lord in the middle of it all. But he was a man who was brokenhearted and crushed in spirit. He struggled. And we're just reminded that our faith is tottering, isn't it? It's fragile. The best of us can be run through with doubts. The most mature believer can find themselves overthrown in a crisis. And so if you wonder why his faith didn't uphold him, if you think, oh, you know, why wasn't Andrew Brunson more dependent upon God? I guess we can ask ourselves, how am I coping? And how would I cope with prison? These are not easy things. We're not living in easy times. So if you felt a bit like you're drowning, this psalm brings you hope, because this psalm is full of hope for struggling people and how they can find refreshment. Now, the book of Psalms itself is full of lament and pain and struggle. And the book of Psalms teaches us that we can pray in the middle of the darkness. And this crisis can teach us to pray. Our troubles can be our teachers in the middle of our situation. And you and I, we can learn to pray in the midst of much struggle, in the midst of lockdown. Now, Psalm 34 is all about this. And we've seen in this psalm how David learned to pray in the middle of trouble. He sought the Lord when he was vulnerable, when he was struggling. And Psalm 34 bangs on about these truths, and it wants to get these truths into our hearts. And so we're going to look at three things today to encourage us in the middle of trials and troubles to seek the Lord. Three things: the Lord's face, the Lord's close attention, and the Lord is refuge. The Lord's face, the Lord's close attention, and the Lord is refuge. Firstly, then, the Lord's face. Apparently, one of the most damaging forms of child abuse that you can experience is neglect. Now, we tend to think of other things as worse, and I'm sure you could list those things up, the terrible things you could think of, terrible things we hear about in the newspapers. And of course, everything is terrible in its own way. But neglect is incredibly damaging for a child at every point. And me and my wife, we've adopted two children. And when we were preparing for the adoption, we had to do some training. And one of the things they showed us was a video. It's called the kind of the still face experiment. And you have a mum with a young child. And the mum's interacting with the child, and the child's going to lift up his arms and smiling. And then the mum turns away and turns back with a still face, just like that. And you see the child at first is a little bit kind of confused, trying to get the mum's attention, kind of stops smiling, gets a little bit anxious, gets a little bit worried. And then the child starts screaming. Within about 30 seconds, the child is overwhelmed. Inattention is incredibly distressing for a child. Incredibly distressing. Neglect is a terrible thing. Now, when you imagine God's face towards you, what kind of face is that? See, God's children can almost think of him as having kind of blank face, a still face. God's children can almost think of him as a distant, unmoved, neglectful parent, unresponsive to our cries, uncaring about our needs. Do you have a cold and uncaring God today? Well, that's not what we see in Psalm 34, is it? Here, we don't meet a Lord who looks away. We don't meet a Lord here who gives us a blank face. But what do we see? Verse 15. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. His eyes are on you. You don't have to win his attention. You don't have to perform to get his ear. He's not asking you to do tricks to make him look at you. You don't have to reach some perfect standard. There's no special thing you have to do. There's no incantations, no recitations that you have to pronounce. But through his grace, you have his face. You are his child. And he gives you his face freely and lovingly. And you will have that face forever. Revelation 22, 3 to 4 says this. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. You will have his face forever, and you will never lose it. See, we get here in these verses not a blank face, but the Lord's special and tender care for his people, his suffering people. And God's people, they know as well the Lord's close attention, not simply his face, but his close attention. Verse 17, the righteous cry out and the Lord hears them. Verse 15, it said that his ears are attentive to his cry. You know the phenomenal ability of mothers to hear the cry of their child from like half a mile away. It's a bit like, it almost seems like God injects them with spidey senses when they give birth. Well, the Lord hears our cries and he sees our tears from an endless distance. He reigns in glory. Yes, he rules and he reigns in heaven. He's exalted far above earth and above the universe and all things. But he's not attentive. His ears are not blocked. His mind is not distracted. And he hears our cries at an endless distance. It is just as if he is right next to you. He is at our right hand, isn't he? Our almighty, eternal, indescribable God is absolutely close. Closer than you and I could ever imagine. Closer than our closest friend. Verse 18, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. We're in lockdown, or we've been in lockdown, but the Lord has not been in lockdown. We've been isolating, but the Lord has not been isolating from us. Our almighty, strong God does not despise our weakness and our fragility. We do sometimes, don't we? We look down our nose at strugglers. We can think, oh, come on, just pull yourself together. What's the matter with you? But the Lord doesn't. The fact is, some of you will be battling depression, or you'll be filled with anxiety, or you've just been feeling overwhelmed. And that can be a kind of lockdown within a lockdown. It can feel like you're living inside a room where the door is locked on the inside and the key has been thrown away. It can feel like no one's in there with you. But remember, the Lord Jesus, the risen Jesus, walks through walls and he steps into your heart and he's closer than the closest friend. He's the Lord who crosses the universe quicker than Star Trek warp speed to be with you. And he will not leave you alone in your brokenness. He will not leave you alone when you are crushed in spirit. And he will not forget you when you are dejected. The Lord is close and real and full of attention. And he can do wonderful things for you. Thirdly, the Lord is our refuge. The Lord is our refuge. What are you trusting in the middle of our crisis? What have you been trusting in? The virus has brought out the control freak in all of us, hasn't it? We've all become a bit OCD. Because, you know, as we start to feel out of control, we try to get control by other ways. We're looking for refuge because we don't feel we're safe. We need a secure place. We need protection. And so we seek to control everything. But here in Psalm 34, we find something much better than that. We find the Lord has become our refuge and our rescue. Verse 22, the Lord will rescue his servants. No one who takes refuge in him will be condemned. Now, that idea of refuge goes all the way through the Psalms. The word is mentioned 43 times in the book of Psalms. And there's lots of other words that basically say the same thing, like shield, fortress, rock. The Lord is the refuge. And when we pray, we're taking refuge in him. We're running to him and we're asking him to be our rescue. We're crying out to him to be for us what we cannot be for ourselves. Now, my son will often say when he's in bed at nighttime, saying, "Daddy or Mummy, can I hold your hand?" It makes him feel safe when he's going to sleep. And not infrequently, he will fall asleep holding our hand. Now, when he does that, what is he doing? Well, he's taking refuge, isn't he? He's taking refuge. He's holding on to feel safe. He's taking hold in order to feel secure. You see, when we pray, we're saying, "Daddy, can I hold your hand?" We're trusting that he cares. We're trusting that he sees and hears. We're trusting that his face is turned towards us. We're going to him as our refuge and our rescue. So let me ask you, what are you holding on to today? What are you clinging to? Whose hand are you holding? The fact is, you are not an orphan left alone in the universe. Remember, you're not going to the Godfather, but you're going to God the Father. The Lord has become your Father. Run to him. Take hold of his strong hand, and it will hold you and never let you go. Now, we've gone all the way through this psalm, and we've seen big things about the Lord here. We've seen how he is worthy of praise. We've seen how he's the Lord who hears our prayer. He's the Lord who's good. He's the Lord who cares. And all these things inspire us to pray, don't they? But let's remember verse 16. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to blot out their name from the earth. It's the tragedy of the unbeliever that they never enjoy the face of God. They don't have the face of God. We're told here the face of the Lord is actually against those who do evil. They won't know him. And their prayers will not be heard. Now, that doesn't mean that the Lord can't be merciful to those who don't know him. Doesn't mean the Lord will never answer their prayers. It's just they will never have assurance of that. Prayers not heard simply because they're prayed. They're heard because the person who prays them is in a right relationship with the Lord in the first place. And this psalm is assuming that relationship. Do you have that today? Do you have that relationship with the Lord? Are you in a right relationship with the Lord? Well, how do you get that? How do you get that right relationship with the Lord? Well, it comes through the heir of the King David who wrote this psalm. The heir of David, who came 1,000 years later, the son of David, the Lord Jesus. See, at the cross, the Lord Jesus fulfilled everything in this psalm. You see, at the cross, the Lord Jesus gave himself for us so that we might get the benefits of this psalm. So verse 4, David was delivered, wasn't he? But at the cross, Jesus was abandoned. Verse 5, David got glory, but at the cross, Jesus was shamed. Verse 6, David was saved, but at the cross, Jesus wasn't saved. Verse 7, David had the angel of the Lord protecting him, but at the cross, Jesus wasn't protected. Verse 20, David says that the Lord protected all his bones, but at the cross, Jesus' bones definitely weren't protected, were they? And the amazing thing was that Jesus did all of that for those who would trust in him. At the cross, he was abandoned so that they might be delivered. He was shamed so that they might be radiant. He was saved. He wasn't saved so that they might be saved. He wasn't protected so that they might be protected forever. The face of the Lord was actually turned against him as he bore our sin, so that his people might have the face of God forever. So when you come to trust in Jesus, the promises in this psalm become yours. They've been paid for. They've been secured for you by the death of Jesus. His crucifixion brings you the privileges of this psalm. When you come to him, when you trust in him, when you follow him, see, God is no longer just some kind of cosmic creator out there who you try to speak to in some way. No, no, no. He becomes your Father. You're no longer praying to a force or a thing, but to Father God. And that makes all the difference in the world. What amazing security. See, this psalm can be fully ours through the Lord Jesus. Take hold of him and you'll take hold of these promises. What an amazing promise we have here in this psalm. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the promise of this psalm, the hope of this psalm, the privileges of this psalm. Lord, teach us to pray today through the Lord Jesus and all that he has done, that we might know the wonders of having your face, that we might experience your close attention, and that we might live in you as our refuge. Amen.